Desert Healthcare District Finance, Legal and Administrative and Real Estate Committee meeting, January 12, 2021 at 3:41. And to begin the agenda, I would like to call the roll, please.
Hi, Arthur. We don't normally do roll call for the committee.
Okay. All right, then let's move right along to approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda of our last meeting, December 8th?
So moved.
And I'll second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion is actually carried without concern. The CEO report, Conrado, if you don't mind.
On the CEO report, I want to highlight something something brief, and that is that we are monitoring the governor's budget for the next fiscal year. He has introduced a number of items that are of great interest to us, especially on COVID response, on COVID vaccine, especially the distribution to utilize an equity lens. And we anticipate that the district is going to have a role in ensuring that there is an equitable distribution of COVID-19 vaccines, especially to underserved areas of our district. In that regard, I will be meeting with the Department of Public Health later tonight to start our planning for how we can equitably distribute COVID-19 vaccines in the Valley and which organizations we can partner with to do that. Also related to COVID-19 response, there is funding being allocated by the state for mental health and the impact that on the mental health of our communities that COVID-19 has had. And since we have an important portfolio on behavioral health, this is something that we want to pursue. And also I want to report that the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security has issued a number of guidance documents related to the critical essential, critical infrastructure for our nation. And the Association of California Healthcare Districts and the CSDA, they both support that special districts are part of that infrastructure. And also by the nature of what we are doing with the county, we are part of the essential critical infrastructure. Andrea has a document that I forwarded to her, and I would like to add that to the minutes.
Thank you. Is there anything you anticipate having to distribute through the website to the general population, or is it just premature at this point?
I believe it's premature at this point. The county, as you already mentioned at the beginning of this meeting, is unclear on what their plans are and how the vaccines are going to be distributed. And also because we are getting changes every day from on the guidance that the CDC is offering. One day they say one thing and the next day they will change completely. And with a transition into a new administration, I believe that there will be different guidance on the vaccine distribution.
Okay, thank you. Before we move on, I forgot to invite the public comment if there should be any, Andrea.
No, there's no public comment at this time. And the only part of the public at the moment is Linda Evans. Happy New Year, Linda.
Hello, Linda. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So can we assume then that if Linda has a comment, she'll make it known to us so we don't ignore her. And you're surely welcome to interrupt us at any point that's appropriate, Linda. Thank you.
I have two questions, Mr. Chair. One is, I see that we have a fourth board member on. Is that a problem?
Not to me.
No. Well, Carmina's here to listen in. I wasn't sure that Les should actually be voting, given that the appointments of the committees have not actually been done at the January board meeting, but I'm sure that's not a problem since we only have two board members. So, but Carmina is here to listen in as a new board member.
So who are the voting board members? Myself?
And President DeLara.
And President DeLara, thank you. Would the rest of you please move to the back of the room so we are not in any way obstructed by your physical presence online? Thank you.
Okay. Here's my second question. My second question is regards to the CEO report and what our CEO just informed us of our that we qualify as a definition of an essential service. I wonder whether is there any liability issues that we have to address with our insurance? Is there been any changes in the work in the work that our staff is doing that would require some kind of action because of this new designation or just recognition of this designation?
We are seeking guidance from our human resources consultant. Our understanding is likely not answering those questions.
The job descriptions are going to be reviewed as well by our HR consultant?
I don't think so, Chris. Have you had the conversations?
The way the job descriptions are set up is that there's a clause in the United States, essentially any added duties as required or directed. So it falls under that.
Chris, it's hard to hear you. Chris,
your voice is garbled. Is there any way if you can improve the sound?
Is that any better?
A little bit. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me know if it's not, because I had some computer work done yesterday. Computer guy. I don't know if it turns up. So I apologize.
Maybe if you turn up the volume a little bit.
I don't know how to turn up the volume.
All right, we'll do the best we can. But now, Mr. CEO, are you done, Conrado? Or can we move on?
No, we haven't moved on. I wouldn't like to move on until I address this, if I can, please, just to get clarification. So how many positions are being impacted by this, with this new information? Is it anyone in particular? Is it the organization in general?
It's the organization in general is an essential organization like grocery stores and post offices. It shouldn't change anything about employees.
I'm going to ask the CEO if he could address that question, please.
Thank you, Les. Yes, you're correct. Is the organization in general? We are addressing those questions that we ourselves have with our human resources consultant. We believe that there is no additional liability, and in fact, the federal government also has some waivers on that. So we will have probably more accurate information to share with you at the board meeting.
Thank you. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you. Are we okay? Can we move on now? Chris, we'd like to invite you to the financial report, please.
Okay. So just an update, just to keep the committee informed about the landscape renovation project that's going on at the Medical Plaza. The contract that we've met with a couple of times, they designated the area where they will have the material staging and their actual deployment for demobilization was to start yesterday. So they are beginning that project. With regard to leasing activities, it's pretty quiet. However, we do have one tenant who is essentially subleasing from Dr. Congress, whose lease will expire at the end of February, and is not, Dr. Congress is not renewing this lease. So we're working with that. That organization, they're interested in maybe doing a month to month, but potentially maybe longer. We would like to do a longer-term lease with the entity, but we're considering, you know, possibly doing month-to-month just under the current circumstances that are already there.
I'm sorry, Chris. Chris, I can't understand you. I'm sorry.
I'm having trouble to decipher it, and maybe whoever fixed that your computer, maybe we need to find a new person. But yeah, it's really...
You sound like you're in a tunnel.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's happening is it's trying to go to the speaker on my laptop.
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, much better, though.
Much better, yeah.
Now we can hear you.
Well,
that's better.
Now the problem is I lost video.
We can see you.
Chris, we don't really need to see you.
That's fine, but I lost my video.
Oh, your video. Okay.
So anyway, I can't see what I'm looking at. So,
but I think the last thing we missed, Chris, you mentioned that the sublease for the unit will expire in February, and then you mentioned month to month. That's where we kind of...
Okay, so you can hear me okay though right now?
Yes.
Okay, so the lease with the current tenant, Dr. Congress, expires in February. He has a sublet it to another organization that's been there for quite some time. They would like to do a lease, but I don't think they have the ability to maybe do a long-term lease. They would like to do a month-to-month with us, potentially maybe doing a longer-term lease. We're considering bringing back to the committee probably next month with a potential month-to-month with the idea that there's no TI allowance involved. So that's really kind of the only activity from any new potential leasing.
Yeah, in terms of looking at the leases, you know, we have three vacancies, but it's really only 8%. It's really only 8%, if you will, all things equal.
Right, so
it's effectively, we're operating below budget. We're operating with a net positive on the budget as it relates to the, you know, the gross revenue of...
Right,
so we're in good shape in that respect.
Yeah, and if we did bring it back, you know, with a potential month-to-month would be the idea that it's... There's a 30-day out on either side, so we have the ability to continue to show the suite if we do happen to get a longer-term tenant in there, then we can go that route.
Is that a medical practice that he's sublet to?
It's a sleep study.
Sleep study, okay. Okay, thank you. Any other comments about that? We can go through the agenda like Mr. Matthews has taught us to do. Do we have any issues related to the rental occupancy vacancies on page 8? Do we have any concerns about our actual budget variance for both the foundation? I noticed the foundation and the healthcare district are in here. I have a question on page 13. I noticed that we have a net income surplus, and that again just reflects conservative budgeting on your part. Is that a fair understanding?
There's areas that were under budget. One of the areas is in our labor costs, because we do not have three of the positions filled that are budgeted there. We have incurred substantially less on professional services fees because we have not, although we budgeted for consultants, we have not engaged with any at this point. And then also we are significantly under budget on the grants expense until there are, you know, further grants that are being approved and contracted.
Okay. Chris, if I could point out the obvious, the only reason the grant expense is over budget is because it's prorated through the year, right, whatever that term is. and we just haven't allocated it yet. So it's not that we're not spending enough, it's just it hasn't been done yet.
Understood. Okay, moving along, does we have any concerns about the P&L budget for—
I'm sorry, on page 10, on page 10, going to the income, the $638,000, that is, let me see my notes here. That is interesting.
That's investment income.
Okay, so let's see, lower interest market rate. Okay, so that is, Chris, that's okay. We're lower.
And if you think back to when our representative from the investment company was here, he had indicated that that the way the bonds are working right now, that there's just, we're earning interest on them, mm-hmm. but there's just, based on how they work, there's a loss coming through when those bonds mature.
Okay.
And that's, so we're actually going negative on what we had budgeted, but overall we're kind of at a net positive.
Okay.
Is it fair to say that since interest rates are going to probably creep up, that that's probably going to be a concern over the next year or two, and maybe budget needs to be adjusted?
When you say interest rates creeping up.
That's a good thing for us if interest rates creep up. They've already started. The Treasury bonds have hit over 1.0 for the first time in a long time. So that's not going to affect us to the negative. We're not borrowing any money.
Except it depends if we're invested in actual bonds or bond funds.
And then we'll get a benefit from it by an increase in the interest rate. Because those are the buyers of bonds. They aren't sellers of bonds.
Okay. Right. I have to go back to my bond 101 course. Sorry.
One benefit here too, if we were to look at, if you go to the next page, Andrea, if you would please. I'm sorry, one more. So you'll see the property tax revenue, the line 4010. Mm-hmm. Right now, that's a zero variance. And we're doing the same thing there where we're allocating 1/12 of our budget each month. And if you recall, we went conservative, or what is ending up to be conservative on our property tax revenue budget. But the reality and what we're collecting is going to be substantially more. So we may look at truing this up, you know, next month based on what we're thinking we're projecting, at least for the actuals part of it. So we've received the December payment, I think, was 4% greater than last year. The payment we received just this month, which is for the redevelopment apportionment, is actually 19% greater than last year at this time. So,
then why is the actual equal to the budget if it's greater than we budgeted?
I'm sorry?
Why under property tax? I'm looking at page 12 for December 20 under property tax. It's the exact same as the budget.
That's why I say we allocate each month the what we've budgeted. And then we typically true up at the end of the year what the actual is. And it usually doesn't vary, you know, majorly. This year, it looks like it's going to, because we under budgeted. And then when we receive the actual receipts, they go to a balance sheet account. And then, like I say, we true that up at the end of the year with our revenue.
So we don't get a monthly thing from the county. We get it every 6 months, or how does that
work? Every quarter.
No, we get it periodically, but the bigger chunks tend to come in right around where our property tax payments are made, like in December, January, and then again in, say, May and June.
Okay.
So, but for purposes of the income statement, we typically will recognize the revenue, just like what you had indicated earlier on the
grants.
On the grants.
Yeah.
But we're also recognizing the revenue based on that equivalent amount. Like I say, since it's such a large amount that we're receiving, we will adjust that for what we have received to date on the next month financial statement. So you'll see a significant increase over our budget.
Yeah, but net on balance, as you'll see on page 13, we're on 1.6 to the positive relative to the budget for the year to date. Any other questions related to the district budget?
Okay, I want to go to page 14. That's
the Las Palmas budget. You're getting ahead of me. Yeah, but page 14, Lenny, go ahead, please.
Okay, so page 14, the bank charges. Where's that at? I'm looking at my notes, sir. Bank charges. Maybe it's
at line 6435. Excuse me.
345. Thank you.
13,000 and change to date.
Is it page 13 or 14?
14.
Okay, thank you. 345.
Is this just for processing, Chris?
Well, what it is the so several of the tenants their payment. And so we discussed this last month again. Mm-hmm. And so we went to work with Intuit, and Eric got that rate, our internal rate on that, down to, I think it's 2.75 or something, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but no, that's the best that we're going to be able to do internally. And I, Letty, I had sent you an email mm-hmm. asking you what you're doing internally, because you kind of gave the indication, I thought, that mm-hmm. that you weren't having any kind of expense on if tenants were paying based on credit card.
Okay, so I apologize. I didn't respond back to you. So I will definitely check into it and maybe connect you with my person to tell you. Maybe I'm wrong, but I want to make sure that we are, if we do have a charge, that it's as low as we can.
But actually that raises a good point, Letty. Why are we paying for the service charge of somebody putting something on a credit card? Mm-hmm. Most places where you pay rent, you don't put it on a credit card. And if you do, you get charged a service fee for that. Mm-hmm. Is that something we have to do? We have to take the payment from credit card? Would it be a problem if we didn't?
I guess it's just going to depend on the tenant, if they're cranky about it or not, or if we want to charge them the fee. I mean, it certainly we can do various things, but
I mean, I'm sure the tenant would like to get the airline miles, but it's giving them free money. And yeah. And I think if that is an issue, if our rent rate, if the amount we charge for rent is market rate, then it shouldn't be lessened by a finance fee, I think.
That's exactly what I brought up before.
I think what we need to do then when we do leases with these people is we need to clarify what the payment structure is. Fairness to them, because say most of these people have been doing this for years and years, and it hasn't been an issue. Now, we could certainly approach changing that. No problem with that. It's just, I'm not sure what kind of pushback we'll get from tenants.
Chris, let me ask you a question. Do we have any privilege under our to adjust our housekeeping and utility rates as they're passed along to us. As a general rule, don't we have that privilege of making that adjustment at least once a year?
Housekeeping and
electricity costs, utility costs, if the water rate.
We have common area maintenance.
Yeah, well, why isn't this common area maintenance then?
Conceptually,
even though it's done on
an individual. Actually, that's a good point, because I think it probably does fall under our common area expenses, I believe.
So that would be a way of passing it through without creating a firestorm.
Right, and I think it is. I would have to double check, but I think it is included in our.
Well, if it's included, then we can adjust it. Even though it starts with zero, we can adjust it to a number.
So let me get back to you, Chris, about how we do it, because I don't think we have a processing fee. But if we do, then I'm wrong. But that processing fee should be incurred by the tenant rather than us. So I will definitely put a star on it to make sure that I follow up with you.
Or they should give us the miles, the airline miles.
We can go. We can drive to and from the airport.
Andrea, would you move down to the next page, please?
Okay, page 14. Are you talking a page?
He said 63.45. I thought I didn't notice it, so I moved back up.
64.35
is on page 14.
Oh, there we go. Bank charges. Okay.
Okay. Is there any issues relative to the balance sheet entries for the district on page 15?
Yes, I have a note here. Let me look at my note. Page 15, something. Rent receivable deferred COVID. Could you tell me what that is?
Okay. If you think back to a few months ago when we allowed tenants to defer their rent.
Oh, okay. So my question is, you just reminded me my question was. So my question is, have they actually been on the payment plan, and have they all been complying with it? Sorry, I didn't write up.
Every one of them have been complying perfectly so far.
Okay. Thank you.
What was the number at its highest, Chris, if you recall, roughly?
I think it was over 200,000.
Okay, so you're on the trajectory, you're on the path.
Thank you.
Okay, I think it's worked very favorably for the tenants, because it worked well in the sense that it took a small piece of that amount that they deferred and applies it to what their current monthly rent is. So it's not like they had to repay all of that at once. And the district will be whole by the end of the lease, because we will receive the same amount when it's all said and done.
Thank you. And just so the record's clear, I characterize the Las Palmas financials as foundation financials, and the record needs to reflect that they are Las Palmas credentials, not those related to the foundation, which is covered under a separate agenda. Any other questions related to the balance sheet on pages 17, 18, 19? If not, will any questions related to the accounts receivable on page 20? I have a question here, if you will, Chris, related to Mark. I understand that we've been paying his insurance, his healthcare insurance. Can I make the assumption that this is now the last cycle of that activity? It will fall off now that he's no longer an active district member?
Once we collect the payment from him, yes.
Once you collect the outstanding balance of 5228,
correct.
That will disappear as a line item?
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other concerns, issues related to accounts receivable? Okay. Deposit detail. Moving along. And the tax receipts are interesting. Do you understand why we're getting, why the tax revenues basis has gone up? Is it just a function of the movement of housing prices, or is there any other factors that are affecting that?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, what we had predicted going into this virus deal when we were doing the budget,
right,
was that there could be a negative effect to property values and that.
Right.
And it's been the exact opposite. I mean,
right.
We've had the normal appreciation, but we've then also had all this influx of people from, larger metropolitan areas, all that are with their employment able to work remotely now. They're wanting places that are out here in the desert and, they're close proximity to what would be their office, a couple hours away if they need to go in for a meeting at some point or whatever. So real estate agents are saying that, there's so many people that are looking to buy property out here for that reason, for like snowbirds that are looking to buy something more permanently here too. So if they're, having to isolate more during the virus and that, going to better climate, et cetera. So, real estate agents, there's not enough supply to meet the demand.
Right.
They're actually having price wars on real estate. The prices are getting bid up. And so you're seeing higher values than they're also going to be.
Let me ask the follow-on question. Is there any way, and you may not be able to do this, and I wouldn't be surprised if you could, that you could gross up based on the increase in our tax revenue basis to what the county's new surplus unanticipated revenue stream is to the county? And the only reason I raise that question is that if it were a substantial amount, do we have any potential to go back to the county and solicit funding for the Eastern District component where they've rationalized in the past they don't have any money?
Well,
they still won't have any money.
I think overall they still are a negative. I don't think they have a surplus. So.
Okay. All right. Look,
I don't think we'll win that argument.
That was a financial Hail Mary. Okay.
Can I say something about this? First of all, it's only the Coachella Valley, or it's mostly the Coachella Valley that's having the increase in property tax revenue, not the whole county, number one. Number two, a lot of it has to do with, I'm going to generalize, Canadians who bought property in the late 20s, early 2000s, and now they can't come here. And since they can't come here, they're saying, why am I holding on to this property? It's made a lot of money, let's sell it. And so it's going on the market and they sell it for a higher price than the property tax they've been paying. So the rates are going up too. Plus,
so the basis is going up.
And there's a price war going up.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I have a question, comment. Yes. Just my comment is, Les, I don't know how you get this information, but you always provide such good background information. So thank you for that. But my question is about this page. On the budget, we had budgeted approximately 6.2 million. So we're looking at, because of the trend, that we're really going to be, last year we had under budgeted, we had budgeted 6.7 and we came up with 7.1. So we're really looking at having a significant difference from what we budgeted to what we potentially will get at by the end of the fiscal year. Right, Chris?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, that, okay. There's a significant difference because we budgeted conservatively down from last year, and we're going to increase even more from what we had last year. So
okay.
It's a major difference, yes.
That's a good thing. That's the right way to budget. So, you always budget for the under, and when you get over, then you give the guy a hug. That's a good thing.
My follow-up question on this, though, since we budgeted so low, and we put those, we did our forecast based on our budget, since we anticipate that we would possibly be getting maybe an additional $1 million because we budgeted so low. Is that something that we should look at to, possibly change our budget for the different funding streams, or are we just going to let it ride out for the end of the fiscal year and roll it over into next year? What is our
Well, Letty, last month at the board meeting, I said, because of this extra income coming in, and because of the problem the medical nonprofits are having, we should look into another round of COVID-related, not COVID per se, but because the nonprofits, their income has gone down because they can't have fundraisers, et cetera, we should look into doing what we did a few months ago, which is giving more money out, not necessarily through the normal grant process, but like we did 6 months ago or 8 months ago, whenever it was.
Yeah, okay, and one of the things that's still not completely off the table is that Lift to Rise has come to the district for $10 million. So if somewhere in the mix, a portion or all of that is considered, you know, where's that money coming from? So, I mean, there's...
That's a different argument.
Okay.
I know it's a different argument, but we're talking about, you know,
the same money.
Revenues that are coming in. You know, what could we use potentially with that?
Okay, so this is where we are going to find the potential unbudgeted money of $1 million that we have to decide at some point, taking it forward to the board to decide what are the areas that we want to put that money towards, right? So when does our CEO anticipate having that conversation? At what point? At the end of the next quarter, or when do we have that conversation?
I will discuss with Chris, Letty, once we have some certainty on this, and we'll bring it to the board.
Okay,
good idea. Okay, moving along, is there any other questions related to tax receipts? The deposit detail on pages 23 and 24. Any concerns about the check register on page 25? I had a question. I think it's about the check register. Yeah, on page 20. I have a question on page 26. The QuickBooks payroll fee of $40,000, is that the annual cost of managing the payroll, or what is
That's actually the payroll, the month or the biweekly.
That's the
payroll.
Cash money. That's the content of the checks.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So it includes the net pay, the taxes, etc.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Moving along to page 26, our credit card expenditures. I think I have a question here. Hold on. No, I do not have a question here.
Okay. I do have a question.
Go ahead.
On this one, on page 27 of 36, we have some charges towards the bottom. We have starting with Planned Parenthood donation. What is that?
Yeah.
That is the CEO discretionary fund, Letty.
Well, okay, that actually was my question, Letty. Thank you. And then you have a Coachella Valley Rescue donation as well. These are, I have a concern, not a concern, I have a process issue. Does our president, Letty, did you know about these in advance? Let me ask the question that way.
No.
Okay, Conrado, I would make a recommendation to you, sir, that you exercise your discretion as you cry. I don't challenge the discretion, but I think it's probably a good check and balance for you to communicate with the chair and advise them of that, rather than it come up for the first time in an analysis of financial statements. My comment is not intended to in any way limit your privilege or your discretion. That is not what I'm saying. So please don't misconstrue that. But rather from a check and balance perspective, it's probably in our best interest that the board be aware of all distributions to agencies, even those within your discretion.
I strongly disagree. I mean, it's called a discretionary fund because it's discretionary. The CEO is accountable to the board. We hear about it here, it'll get reported to the board. The board can ask questions if it wants. If there's a problem with this over time, it's gonna show up in the CEO's evaluation. And I just don't think that, I think it's putting another thing for the CEO to do that really isn't necessary. We have an opportunity here to do it in the finance committee, and the board can do it at the board meeting. I just don't agree with that.
So my question is, what is the process? Do we have it? The discretionary fund that you have, I know of it. So I know you probably are using it the way it should be used. I have faith in you in that, but I need to know what is the policy. So if you could share it with us at some appropriate time, so that we are, if like Les said, at the appropriate time, if we want to modify it, then we can, but I don't know what it is. So
do we have a policy? Do we have a policy in specific, or do we just have an allocation of funds at the discretion of the of our CEO?
We have a, what is it called, spot grant or whatever the name of the term for the up to $5,000 grant. There's a policy about that.
These aren't spot grants. These are donations.
Okay, so okay. I do want to know what the policy is. And that's something that we could review on the communications committee. And then we can discuss it to make sure that everybody on the board is comfortable with it, or if we're not comfortable at that point. But I think this is the first time this has come up. So I think it needs to be designated on here as a CEO discretionary fund, for one thing. And because otherwise, where is this coming from? But if it's CEO discretionary fund, that's one thing. And then I would like to review the policy to make sure we're all in agreement with it and to understand it. So that applies to that one. Of course, the CV Rescue Mission, the Act for MS as well. And so those three are under the same question. The next question that I had is the TAC room lunch. That one, I am guessing, and I guess I just need to get clarification. That is part of the outreach work that you are doing with the county for the grant that we received. That's my guess. Is that a correct guess, or am I wrong on that?
That is a correct guess.
Okay, so that is going to be coming from that grant.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you for addressing my questions.
And Chris, what's the over limit fee? Is that over the credit limit of the card?
That's correct. It exceeded the $10,000 limit on the card.
So we're going to make sure we don't do that to anymore, right?
Okay.
Maybe we should expand. If that, I don't remember. I think it has come up before. Thank you, Arthur. That was another one of my little notes here. It has come up before. Should we look at, is there a need to increase that amount so that we don't have $35 wasted?
Well, I would think typically in a month going over $10,000, we typically don't experience that very often. It's just this month we had, you know, some pretty sizable
donations.
Can I ask a question? It seems like there's two issues here. One is, this is a credit card registry, I guess, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
So then the other question is, where then in the budget does this money come from? I mean, to me, that's really the issue. I mean, part of it is this appropriate use of the credit card? And then secondly, how much is budgeted and what is the policy of spending the money?
And thirdly, is there a necessity to have communication in the context of protecting the interests of the board concurrent with any distribution? Because Les, can you just imagine at a board meeting, at a public session, someone stands up and said, hey, what are you guys doing donating XYZ number of dollars to this account? That just seems out of line. So the issue is the chairperson, our president, needs to be knowledgeable and not be set up for having to defend something that person's not aware of. It's just, and that's why I prefaced my remarks by saying I am not interested in any way in impacting Conrado's prerogative or privilege. This is just internal. This is just internal for our benefit. And if I recall correctly, sir, it was you who said that the CEO in a not-for-profit organization works for the board, not the other way around. And this issue is literally a perfect expression of that issue. We need to be aware, no more, no less, without changing any prerogatives of the CEO at this time.
First of all, I think there's a difference about holding somebody accountable for what they do and being aware of every motive.
Excuse me, Les, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I am not talking about holding someone accountable. I'm talking about the communicative process. And I keep saying that I have no interest in changing the prerogatives and the latitudes and the discretion of the CEO. I am merely saying that the president needs to be aware, no more, no less, in the context of your original discussion about who's working for whom.
And why not the treasurer?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I don't have a concern about that, but I need to be able to talk to the person who will have to respond in public to the question. That's fine. It makes no difference. It makes no difference.
But won't the CEO be responding in public, not a director?
Excuse me?
Won't it be the CEO who's responding in public to an inquiry, not a director?
Oh, I would think the president of the board has an obligation to be aware and not be able to say, I just found out about it at a committee meeting after the fact. That person's knowledge needs to be concurrent.
So you're saying that it should be before the charge is even made, the president should be aware?
At the time, Conrado's considering it, that's absolutely correct, yes.
So anyway. my point from before is, what is the policy?
Let's find out what the policy is and see if we
can. Okay, I would agree. Let's move the agenda. Okay.
And the other part of that being, I think the committee is the appropriate place to have these kind of conversations, because this is an opportunity for us to discuss and share information and question. So it is the appropriate place and time. So.
Okay, if this satisfies the agenda of being a public response, then I'm okay with it. You know, again, it's not about discretion. It's not about latitude. It's about communication between our CEO and us, so nobody gets blindsided, just that way.
Well, okay. I think it was just kind of the nature of, you know, there were two of you that did ask questions about those larger dollar spends. And I think it's to that point, if the communication has been made and you know, we can identify it in policy spending for the CEO discretionary fund. But I mean, I don't think any board member or, you know, the CEO to be protected to not have somebody come in a public meeting like this or in a board meeting and then be questioning, okay, why did we do $2,500 to this organization for a donation, another $1,500, another $5,000, and nobody's aware of it. So, I mean, I think it raised some questions. I think we just need to address it in the policy and so that we've, you know, satisfied concerns. And if it's to communicate to CEO or the board president or whoever, we define that in the policy.
Excellent. Okay, that's fine. Can we assume we'll take a look at the policy at our next session? Is that a fair assumption?
Well, I think that would come through the policies committee. But
the policies
are reviewed in the policy committee. I have a couple of clarifying questions. Are there any disagreement with these donations or any concern with any of these three organizations?
I have no concern with any three of those organizations. If I had money in my checking account, I would make those donations myself, but it's my money, it's not public money. So I think that's the only reason why I was questioning it, is that why those, and if you have the discretion, if that's in the policy and you have the discretion, then that's covered. but I need to know what that policy is so I don't have to question it. If in the future I understand the policy and the board is okay with it, and if you designate it as CEO discretion, that's all that I would need. So I have no problem with the organization. I just needed to know what is the policy to make sure that that we're clear on it. But
well, and one question I would have is what preempts other organizations then to continue to keep coming and asking for donations? Mm-hmm. I mean, why these versus others?
Yeah, that's what one of the questions that would definitely come up. So the CEO, first of all, if it's at CEO's discretion, then the CEO is going to have to respond to it. If we as a board are doing our responsibility, if we have abdicated that responsibility, that what the CEO is doing is just letting us know, then he has to defend it. But if it's our responsibility to have to defend it, then I want to know what was the criteria used. But if it's his criteria and his responsibility, then that's on him. But are we comfortable with that? First of all, understand it and either confirm it or change it.
Okay, Conrad, I have a question. Have you ever been in a situation since you're here where you've been approached for a donation and you have declined such a donation? Has anybody ever put you in that position?
No, I have not.
Okay, let's assume tomorrow that were to be the case. And mm-hmm. let's further assume that you are not responsive in a good way to making that donation, that you want to say no. Don't you think you would be better off if you could say to that person in all candor, this is something I really appreciate your request. It seems worthy. I want to discuss it with my board president, and I'll get back to you tomorrow in real time and give you some cover. That's really what I'm thinking.
Yes, and for the safety of this argument, if I get a request from an organization for the advancement of the art in Coachella Valley, or for an organization that doesn't serve Coachella Valley, I don't think that is aligned with the mission of the district or with the work that we are trying to advance or the political relationship that we want to build or foster. So I think that's why you give the CEO discretion to, and you trust that the discretion of the CEO is going to be certain, and not that you're going to find out that there is a charge for an organization that it's doing international relief and it's not associated in any way with the district or with the tax dollars that we receive.
Okay, point well taken. Are there any other comments on this agenda item? Hearing none.
I just have a question. Some of these fall under the grant, whatever that term is for grants under $5,000. Chris, grant. What's that called?
Mini grants.
Okay, the mini grant. So first of all, we should review and make sure everybody knows what is the policy for our mini grants, because I think some of these are mini grants.
They're not.
There's donations.
Okay.
There's no application. I don't know is there an application? I don't know what process
there
is.
There is no application. It's a donation. It's the same way that we all have been in a situation in which we went to a gala. Certainly, well, there is no galas anymore. And there is some appeal to the public, and they typically target the CEOs of foundations because we're there to represent our organizations, and they ask for a specific donation. So this is the same case. The difference here is that it's not an event that we went to together. It's an appeal that was made directly to the CEO by an organization that is familiar with the mission and the work of the district, and that we are familiar with that organization as well, which is clearly the case of CVRM. It's an organization that it's doing valuable services to the homeless, that it's doing a drive to have food for the homeless at the end of the year. They make an appeal to the CEO of the district, and I responded to that appeal and made that donation.
My only concern is, I mean, when we're deciphering between grant and donation, because this is really a fundraising donation. And so my only concern is that, okay, it's discretionary, but what makes it non-discriminatory with regard to any other of what would be our normal grantees coming and asking for a fundraising donation? We don't have unlimited funds to do that. It's under the CEO discretionary policy, but what makes it non-discriminatory?
All right, I want to table this discussion, have the policy committee address the issue, because I think some of the more fundamental issues are coming out. But Conrado, just one word of reassurance. You were defending your decision, and that is out of order. No one questioned your decision. So there's really no necessity to defend the position at this time. I'm going to move the agenda on. We're looking at the retirees. We've had absolutely no change in that month to month. Is there any questions about the retirement account?
We have had two or three just since this report was completed. So,
oh my! And how did they take lump sum, or are they on annuity?
It'll all be lump sum, whether it's rolled over to an IRA or they take an actual distribution.
Okay, so there's no negative impact to us that we're not prepared for.
Yeah, we will probably most likely not see any additional annuity participants.
Okay, thank you very much. Our grant schedule, are there any issues related to the grant schedule? The next agenda item is our cell tower. And I know Chris has some thoughts about that. That's an action item, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So the background on that, I won't go too much into detail, but going back to 1996, there is a cell tower that's mounted to the side of the building of the East Tower at the hospital. And the district has been receiving monthly lease payments from T-Mobile on that. It was set up as five consecutive five-year terms, increasing 15% after each 5 year. Currently, we're receiving $17.49 a month. The lease expires August of this year. T-Mobile came back. They wanted to do a much lower monthly rate at $16.50 a month. We brought it to the committee back in November a year ago, and staff was requested to do some homework, find out if there were any other potential for other carriers that would be interested in doing a cell site at that location. Did not receive any reply from any of the other carriers. What I did do is go back to the representative from T-Mobile, and this was after working with Al Martini, who was recommended by Director Matthews at the time, and just proposed that we do the 15% increase, which would fall in line with the next 5 years. So that's pretty much equivalent to the $2,000 that recommending in this lease amendment, which would have the same terms. It'd be five additional, or would be a 5 year with five additional 5 year terms, and 15% escalator after each 5 year term, and asking the committee to recommend approval.
Okay, I'd like to call that question. And when we do, after we do that, we'll call the question on the financial reports. So excuse me for skipping by that. I got so excited about the cell tower, so I just missed it. But, all those in favor of approving the recommendation of the chief operating officer on the cell sites?
I move approval.
Do we have a second for this item?
That's you.
I'll second the item. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the item is approved. And in retrospect, the review of the financial reports has been submitted. Do we have a recommendation for moving the agenda?
I move approval.
I second it, and as such, it will be approved as submitted. Chris, there's one more item on the agenda, and that's the ground lease at Park Imperial.
Yeah, now this is an informational item. We've had, the district has had a ground lease that had been identified. It's a 98-year lease that was done in 1959. The district received that lease through a trust by Mr. Meiselman. And so we are now the owners of that lease. We've done a sublease with Brad Yoakum, who essentially we received $750 a month for that sublease. It runs through year 2057. We have received some requests from property owners there, and it's land on a condominium development. There's 51 units there. Homeowners there are now becoming concerned, since it's approaching, you know, a 35-year period, that, you know, lenders are pretty apprehensive of doing 30-year mortgages on land leases that are essentially under 35 years. And so they've expressed some interest in either extending the lease, or ideally, I think they would prefer to actually own the property. And so just presenting this to the board, or I'm sorry, to the committee, asking for a direction for us as staff to go out, get the information, pull together, work with, you know, legal counsel, real estate legal counsel for the HOA, and essentially bring back information to the committee at a later date with some options.
Okay, thank you. Any concerns, any questions related to this, ladies and gentlemen? If not, I would entertain a motion for adjournment. Do we have such a motion?
I have a question.
Did
we approve the minutes? Was I sleeping?
I'm sorry?
We skipped it, actually.
What?
The minutes.
The minutes.
We approved the minutes at the beginning of the meeting, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. I am a rookie treasurer, and I accept your guidance with all your humility. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the December 8th meeting?
So moved.
And seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
And the motion is carried. I will now entertain a motion for adjournment. Do we have such a motion? By acclamation, we stand adjourned, and we will bring up the foundation meeting. If that's amenable with everybody, I don't think we need a break. Is that a fair statement?
That's correct.
Okay, call the agenda. And I'd like to call for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Seconded, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any public comment on this, Andrea? No such comment.
Thank you.
no public comment heard. Okay. Well, the minutes of the December 8th meeting are an actionable item. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
And seconded accordingly. A motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion is by acclamation. Dr. Barzaga, Conrado, do you have a CEO report for our foundation at this time?
Nothing to report.
Thank you, sir. Chris, Mr. Chief Operating Officer, is there anything in the financials that you'd like to discuss in specific?
Nothing stands out much there, with the exception of, we can get to the grant schedules after we get through the financial components.
Okay, so there's no concerns about the financial statements per se.
Can we go to page 8?
Okay.
I have a quick question, I think. Let me just go there to remind myself what my question was. 7, 8. Okay, so here we have on the assets, we have restricted funds of 526. What is that restricted? Where is the source of that funding?
Chris, do you have a
Okay, so that column, what we're doing there is showing that, okay, what assets do we have that cover the liabilities at the bottom of the page? So we have commitments at the bottom of the page of 4.9 million,
okay,
which is all of our grant funding, mm-hmm, et cetera. So, so we're using a majority of our investment accounts, but then we're just showing that 500,000 of our cash in the bank is also committed to supporting those liabilities.
Because last month we had 62,502, and so I just was I just noticed the difference, the increased amount. So.
Well, we received 400,000 from the Public Health Institute,
okay,
money.
Yeah, right. Thank you. I just needed to get that confirmed. I didn't want to guess.
Yeah, and you can see down there at the bottom, there's some description as to what's included in that. That 500,000. So the restricted funds, there's some monies in there still from the Summer Survival Homelessness Fund, some donations, 25,000 that's not committed, and we have the bulk of it's the 400,000 from the PHI grant money.
I'm sorry, what line are you reading that from?
It's the very bottom of that page.
The asterisk.
The asterisk.
Oh, the asterisk. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other concerns about our allocation schedule? Moving along to the deposits, any issues relative to the deposits? The check register? A point of information, just to tie the issues together. Does the discretionary fund of the CEO extend to matters related to the foundation, or is it limited just to the district? If anyone knows the answer.
The budget is in the district.
In the district, thank you. Okay. Any concerns about the credit card expenditures here on page 11?
We have a bank service charge, but that's we're gonna be dealing with that, right?
Right.
And what that is, the late fees there was deal where the account statement was actually going to Director Matthews' house. And it was being kind of overlooked in a sense. So that's been corrected. We are receiving that at our district office now. So that's all current and no more late fees.
Did they go to his house because he was treasurer, and is that what's in our policy, or?
Well, when it was in essence done inadvertently. One of the forms that was completed when setting up for the credit card has the address of the business, but the when it asked for the address for the primary signer, which was Director Matthews, had asked for home address. So we ended up putting home address, and then that's where the statement ended up going instead of to our business office. So.
Okay. Chris, the size, the card limit here is 25,000. What's the card limit on the district card? Are they the same?
10,000 per card.
Okay, and is there a reason there's a difference between the two?
This one is 25,000 in aggregate. The district is 20,000 in aggregate.
And the other one's 20,000. Okay, that's not consequential. Okay, are there any other issues relative to our grant schedule, ladies and gentlemen?
Just a question, a follow-up question on the credit card. Chris, since we're looking at how we do payments for rents, can you also make a comparison with credit cards as what is the benefit with staying with these credit cards? Is it, do we get points? Do we get some kind of
What this is the charge from our side. It's not the actual credit card company. It's the processing, the fee that is assessed by Intuit. When we do the credit card through Intuit to make that charge, it doesn't go on the credit card itself. It comes through Intuit, which is our process fee.
So it's not like a regular credit card then?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other concerns about our credit card expenditures? Moving on to the grant schedule, any issues related to the grant schedule? Other matters? And some organizations call that good and welfare, but we'll consider it other matters as our nomenclature.
So the one point I'd like to make here is that there's a second grant payment schedule that we've added. So this is for the pass-through funds. Mm-hmm. That's coming from the CARES monies, and there'll be the Public Health Institute monies that will come through here as well. So we just wanted to segregate that from our internal grant program. So what you'll be seeing is two separate grant payment schedules on the foundation side.
How long are you planning on dispensing that over the course of the year or some shorter time period?
Well, it's supposed to be, I think they go through June of this year.
Through June, okay. So it's six more months to go. And you'll be reporting it quarterly, so.
Actually, you'll see it monthly.
Yeah, monthly. I'm sorry, monthly. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. All right. Any other concerns? Any other matters to come before our august body?
So just on this funding then, my understanding is, I think it was 1.2, right? The grant or the count? Yeah, 1.2. Yeah. So yeah. That we're getting 20% administrative overhead for that, and that the overhead proceed then, that's just going to our general fund. It's not being designated for anything, is that correct?
Well, it's being designated to cover overhead fees. So what you would see there about mid-page to the right, there's the $240,000. And then there's expenses paid against that of $72,000, which a majority of that is allocation of overhead, you know, personnel expenses, et cetera.
Okay, very good, thank you.
So then you move that money from the foundation back into the district to cover salaries, or you pay the salaries?
No, we charge the foundation from the district, so the expense gets transferred from the district to the foundation. We pay from the district everybody's salaries, etc., but then we do an allocation of expense from the district to the foundation. So overall, it reduces the district expense and then incurs an expense on the foundation side, which is then covered by this $240,000.
At some point, and not now, but at some point, it might be good to do a primer for the board again to kind of explain how the finances work between the board, the district, and the foundation. How employees who are maybe doing some work that's district and some work that's foundation, how that stuff gets allocated, what percentage of the budget is to either. Again, I was told this once and I just don't remember, but it might be good once a year to go through that with the board.
Well, we do that with the annual budget. So the only thing different with this is that this component came up, mid-year. So we've done an allocation.
Okay, I mean, that would be a good time to do it. Okay, fine.
Any other matters to come before us, ladies and gentlemen? Anything from the public that hasn't been spoken? Linda, thank you very much for your attendance. Carmina, thank you. Welcome to our world. Ladies and gentlemen, we stand adjourned at 4:55. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Cheerio.
Adios.